There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. And they are nailed to the cross, they are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, and he carried my sins with him there. He is tender and loving and patient with me, while he cleanses my heart of the dross. But there's no condemnation, I know I am free, for my sins are all nailed to the cross. And I will cling to my Savior, and I'll never depart. I will joyfully journey each day with a song on my lips and a song in my heart that my sins have been taken away. And they are nailed to the cross, they're nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, but he carried my sins with him there. And what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, but he carried my sins with him there.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Lester. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And then turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, and we'll look at some verses for our main points in our message out of 1 Peter. Romans chapter 1. It's good to see Brandon Rayleigh here. He went to the Navy, went through boot camp, and then was sent to Pensacola for schooling. You finished that, and now you're going to a duty station. And it's fixed. You're fixing to get into the Navy now. Amen. It's good to see you. And then it's good to see Brother Miss Caldwell slip in back there. Members here many years ago and moved off into the Carolinas and off Carolinas and other parts of the world. And they come home about once a year to visit, and it's always a joy to see them. He's getting much older. His wife's getting much younger. And sure, good to see y'all. God bless you. Good memories of the Caldwells. Have you found your place in Romans chapter 1? Stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Notice that statement. Called to be an apostle. It wasn't something Paul decided for himself. He received a call of God to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. He's saying to the Christians there in Rome, you're called. You're called. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here in these seven verses, we see three times the statement called. First of all, Paul said, I was called to be an apostle. Then he said to all the Christians there in Rome, you were called also of Jesus Christ. And then he says, you're also called to be saints. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, called by God. I hear people all the time say, well, I'm not called. I want to dispute that. And I want to say to you, God says, you've heard the call. He's just not done anything about it, perhaps. Called of God. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message, that it might be used to touch our hearts and prepare us and move us into the will of God and for God's glory. Help us to be honest about your call to us. Help us to understand that it's not just preachers that are called of God, but there's a call of God that goes out to every lost sinner, and there's a call of God that goes out to every Christian concerning the things of God. And help us not just to say, yes, I'm saved, but help us to be honest and say, I've heard and answered the call of God for my life. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul states plainly that he was called by God to be an apostle. And then twice in the next verses, he said that we're called in Christ Jesus and we're called as Christians to be saints. And by the way, a saint is not someone that's made a saint because of a declaration of a religion. A saint is a person that's been blood-bought. A child of God. If you're saved in God's sight, you're a saint. But you're also called to live like one, to act like one for Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus tells us the story about sending His servants to go out and invite people to come to the marriage supper. And at the marriage supper, the Lord found a person without proper wedding garment, and He sent him away. He sent away the one trying to crash the wedding party without proper garments. Jesus said in verse number 14, in reference to that story, many are called, but few are chosen. Those who are chosen are those who obey the call of God to be saved. The wedding garment that Jesus was looking for was the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that imputed righteousness that comes only when a sinner accepts Jesus Christ as Savior and has been washed in the blood of Jesus, sins forgiven, blotted out, and he is clothed in the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now there's many people today that are trying to get into the coming marriage supper without the proper garments. Jesus said in that day they'll knock at the door and say, Lord, let us in. We've done many wonderful works in Thy name. Let us in. And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. The Bible tells us that neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Have you heard God's call? Brother Combs, could I have a glass of water? Brother Combs. Brother Combs. Now, Brother Combs isn't rebelling. I asked him to do this before the service, so don't think he's got a rebellious spirit. I wanted to make a point. I called Brother Combs to get me a glass of water. He heard me. He just didn't do anything about it. Like God has called many of you, and you've heard Him call. You've just not answered that call. You've not done anything about His call. Last Wednesday night, Timothy Cannenberg came forward and surrendered his life to preach the gospel. And here's what the young man said to me. He said, "Preacher, God's been calling me. But I had other things I wanted to do and I didn't answer that call. But He said, I'm answering it tonight." God's been calling. Many are called. You've heard Him call. God doesn't speak to our heart and we ignore, we not know it's God. I promise you, when God speaks, you'll know it's God. But you're not responding. You're not obeying. Now, there are five different calls that goes out from the lips of God as seen in 1 Peter. And I want you to turn there. 1 Peter. First of all, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible tells us there's the call of salvation. We have been called from darkness into or unto His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, 9 says, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That's a call of salvation. Called of God. Many are called. A lot more is being called to get saved than answering God's call. There's a lot more hearing the call of God and feeling the conviction of God than those that are coming and saying, "I want to receive Christ as my Savior." Many are called, few are chosen. The saved, the chosen, are those who hear the call and answer it. Has God called you and you've not answered? In Ephesians 5:8 it says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." They've been saved, called out of darkness to light. Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Saved, called to salvation. How many times has Jesus called you to be saved and you've ignored Him over and over and over again? Now, Jesus may call you many times, but you only have to answer Him once by yes, saying yes. See, when you get saved, you don't ever have to get saved again. Once you've been born into the family of God, you can't ever get unborn out of the family of God. Once you've been born again, you don't ever need to get born again again. Now, there's times we need to get right again because we backslide. Backslidden, sliding does not mean you lose your salvation. It means you rebel against God's will. You're out of God's will. You're not living for God. And you need to come back as a child of God and get right. When the prodigal left the father's house in Luke chapter 15, he was still a son of the father. When he came back, he didn't have to get born again to be in the father's family. He was a rebellious son. He got right with God and was brought back into fellowship. When you backslide, you don't lose your sonship. You lose the blessing and fellowship with your heavenly Father. And so God has called many to be saved. Have you ignored His call? Have you ignored Him over and over again? How many times have you said no to the invitation of God to come out of darkness unto light? Come from that lost condition to salvation. Come from an eternal destiny in hell to eternal life in Jesus Christ with Him one day forever in heaven. Called. Called. There's absolutely no heaven for you without answering the call of God to salvation. Don't you think it's time you said yes to the call of God to be saved? The first call here in 1 Peter is the call of salvation. Called from darkness into His marvelous light. From that lost sinner to being born again, a child of God. Being that person on your way to hell without hope. To becoming a child of God, saved, forgiven, with heaven as your home forever and ever. Have you answered that call? Nobody can say, I don't know. You know whether you have or not. Salvation is not a hope-so, think-so, or maybe-so situation. It's like getting married. Last Saturday afternoon, I stood on the platform there in Elgin, Illinois, and did the vows at Stephen Lemon and Liz Massey's wedding. You ask Steve today, do you know you're married? I promise you, he knows he's married. Okay? Mrs. Smith and I have been married 52 years, and there's never been a day in that 52 years that I did not know that I know that I know I'm married. I've been saved for 56 years. There's never been a day in that 56 years that I did not know that I know that I know I'm saved. I heard the call. I was a lost sinner. And Jesus spoke to me and spoke to my heart by the Holy Spirit of God. I felt the tug on my heartstrings. And I got up and I came down, and the best I knew how, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And He saved me. Have you answered that call of salvation? Secondly, there is the call from God for every Christian to live a holy life after they're saved. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Peter said He's called you to be holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation does not mean just speech. It means in your way of life. Holy. Now, let me say, the word holy does not mean to be perfectly sinless. Let me tell you what the word holy means. It means to be godly or godlike. Are you trying to be godlike? Are you trying to be godly in your decision? Has anyone ever accused you of being like God? You sure are godlike in your talk, in your walk, in your dealings with people. Hey, that's not a cancer. That's a badge of honor. To be godlike. We're called to be godlike. God wants us to resemble our Heavenly Father. I've said often that every new daddy would like to hear them say, that baby looks like daddy. And God would like for every one of His children to have it said of them, they look like their Heavenly Father. They're acting like their Heavenly Father. They're making decisions. God wants you to resemble your Heavenly Father as you go about the daily activity of living your life as a Christian. It's not saying that you have to be sinlessly perfect. You can't live above sin in a body of flesh unless you rent an apartment above a honky-tonk. Then you can live above sin. Now, you can't live sinlessly. Now, we ought to get to the place where we don't want to sin. And we ought to get to the place where sin grieves us when we do sin. But we'll never get to the place that we don't have a tendency to sin in this body of flesh. And we'll never get to the place where God will refuse to forgive our sin if we'll confess our sin. But God called us to be holy, to be like Christ, to live like Christ, to think like Christ. How do I think like God? Live by the principles of this book. Live by the teachings of this book. This book reveals the mind of God, the will of God. What would Christ, how does God think on that subject? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? We're called to be holy. God wants us to resemble our Heavenly Father as we go about the daily activity of living our life as Christians. Have you ever considered that not striving to live holy as a Christian, to live God-like as a Christian, is being disobedient to Him? It's being rebellious to Him? Let me ask you a question. When I said, Brother Combs, would you get me a glass of water, and he just sat there, did you have a funny feeling? Huh? Was there kind of a little funny feeling going on inside because here a staff member was ignoring his pastor, his physical boss? Did you have a kind of funny feeling? Do you ever get that funny feeling when you disobey God? That's far worse than that. We had that set up. Can you disobey God and it not bother you? You do know that willful disobedience is rebellious. It's rebellion against God. God called you to be holy and you've refused to hear Him, to answer Him, and you're going on to live like the world and live like the devil. That's not God-like. That's disobedience. That's rebellion. That's demonic. That's satanic. Have you ever considered it's rebellion? It's disobedience. I said this to my Sunday school class this morning. Let me say it again because it deserves to be repeated. Some Christians hear God and answer Him and try to do right. And there's other Christians that mock them for doing right. Well, there's a Christian. He's got some standards of separation from the world. He thinks he's better than I am. And you call him Holy Joe. That's sin. Mocking someone for trying to obey God, do right. No, sir, you're the sinner. You're the rebel. You're the one out of the will of God. God's called us to be holy, and we ought to encourage one another to be like Jesus, to do right and live right and stand right, act right. Well, I've got to hurry on. Third call. Every Christian is called to follow Christ's example. Look at chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Now, what does that mean? Follow His steps. Live according to His example. He's talking about the way we live our life in regard to others, the way we treat others, the way we act in reference to others. To get the context of this verse, it's important that we look at verse 19 through 23. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Talking about Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So, what does it mean now to follow Christ's example? Well, we're to follow his steps and his example as illustrated here. We are to endure grief and suffering even when it's done to us wrongfully. We're to endure it instead of backsliding and getting angry and trying to get even or having our pity party or trying to turn it around and hurt those that have hurt us. He said, endure it. Have a right spirit about it. This is acceptable unto God. This is what Jesus did. After the most cruel treatment man has ever known, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And in verse 22 and 23, we're told how Christ responded to wrong treatment by others. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. We've got to learn if we're going to follow his steps, if we're going to follow his example. It's not up to us to get even with everybody that treats us wrongly. It's not up to us to get even with everybody that defrauds us. It's not up to us to get even with everybody that tries to take advantage of us. We've got to learn, like Jesus, to commit those things to God and let God deal with them. We keep a right spirit and go on so God can bless us and use us. Every Christian has received a call from God to follow Christ's example, to follow his steps. Instead of trying to get even with everybody that's against you, he tries to win them. He tries to reach them with the gospel. He tries to see their life transformed by the power of God. He wants them to get saved instead of trying to get even with them. As a Christian, are you following his example? You're called to do so. Have you said yes to that call? Have you answered this call? Don't you think it's about time, as a Christian, you say yes? Or are you willfully disobeying this call? I pray not. Fourthly, every Christian is called to inherit a blessing. We're called to inherit a blessing. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Called to inherit a blessing. The Bible says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Bless them that use you or despitefully use you. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now, notice in 1 Peter 3, 9, the statement, knowing that you are thereunto called. We're called to do what? We're called to be a blessing so we can inherit a blessing. You say, but these people are not being good to this Christian. Yeah, but be a blessing to them. Don't render evil for evil. Don't try to get even. He says, if you want my blessing on your life, then be a blessing. Be a blessing to them. And he goes into detail now. Listen, you think living for Christ is easy? Getting saved is easy. Jesus paid it all. It's a gift. All we do is accept it. But doing right and living right as a Christian, it takes somebody that's real. Somebody that's a man, a woman, somebody committed, somebody with some character, somebody with commitment to God. Listen, he said, here's some things. Finally, be of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called. Now, called to do what? Called to be in unity as a church, one mind. Called to be compassionate one another, to one another. Compassion means to feel the hurt in another person's heart and try to do something to help them. Now, beware, because here's where we have gotten to as Christians. You know, by nature, we are very selfish and self-centered. People can be hurting next to us, and we don't care. Well, we make it, it's their fault. We make excuses like that. The Bible says, but we're to be compassionate. We're to feel the hurt in another person's heart and try to do something about it. We are inherently selfish, and we forget about everybody else and think only about ourselves. But he said, if you want my blessing, you better learn to be a blessing even to those who are hurting, those who are wrong. You be in unity. Be compassionate one to another. Be pitiful. Now, that word pitiful in the King James Bible doesn't mean the same thing as it means in the English language today. If I said, Brother Garner, you're a pitiful sight, means he's got some problems. He don't look very good. But the word pitiful, as used in the King James Bible, means to be sympathetic, tender-hearted toward them. And he said, not only that, we're to be pitiful, we're to be courteous, we're to be friendly and kind. We're not to render evil for evil. The word evil is a step beyond sin. The word evil is doing something to willfully hurt other people. He said, somebody's hurt you, don't you turn around and try to hurt them. But instead, be a blessing to them. I've called you to be a blessing that you might inherit a blessing. And by the way, it agrees with the principle of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can't sow evil and reap blessing. You can't sow sin and reap God's approval. He said, I want you to inherit a blessing, so here's the way you deal with these situations. Be a blessing so we can inherit a blessing. We're called to be a blessing so we can inherit a blessing. Do you want Christ's blessing? Christ is saying you don't have to wait to the judgment seat of Christ to get your reward. You can be blessed right here in this life. But not if you're not living to be a blessing. If you're not trying to be a blessing, don't expect me to bless. And then lastly, look in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, here in verse number 10 of 1 Peter 5, every Christian is called to inherit, called unto His eternal glory. You say, what does that mean? I mean, every Christian is called to go to heaven. We're promised that gift of eternal life. Now listen to me. We don't earn our mansion in heaven. I personally don't believe there's big mansions and little mansions. Mansions are a gift of God. They're not earned. Rewards are earned. Mansions are God's gift. It's a part of that salvation gift. It was purchased by Jesus Christ and prepared by Jesus Christ. It's a part of the gift of salvation. Just as He called us to salvation, He wants us to know that call extends to His eternal glory. That's heaven, being with Him forever. Now that says, first of all, something very important to me. It says if He called you to salvation, He's going to keep you and take you to heaven. So you can't get it and lose it. And you can't get saved and somebody steal it from you. And you can't get saved and give it up. Once you've been born again, you're a child of God. You're called to His eternal glory. My heavenly home is more secure than my life here on earth. Because my life could end. I could be in an accident. I could have a disease, a heart attack, hate stroke. I mean, there's so many things that could end my physical life, but nothing can end my eternal life in Jesus Christ. For He who called me to salvation wants me to know that that call includes His eternal glory. A place in heaven prepared by God for me. Paul writes in Romans 8, telling us that nothing, beginning in verse 30 something, what can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? Then he goes through a whole list of things on the earth, above the earth and under the earth, and said, none of these things shall separate us from the love of God. Oh, we're called to His eternal glory. It's good to go to bed at night and not have to struggle with the question, am I going to heaven? Did I lose it today? Well, I want you to know, once I hear the call of God to salvation and I answer that call, accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am saved and I am called unto His eternal glory. Not only saved today, tomorrow, and forever, called to be with Him in heaven forever and ever. Now, the devil can't take away that eternal gift of heaven from the child of God. The devil can't take away your salvation. He may take away the assurance of your salvation as you backslide and get away from God and drop out of church. But that can be renewed. I can't tell you how many people that comes forward and we kneel at an altar and we go through the plan of salvation and they say, I've done that. As they look at the Scripture, the Holy Spirit that convicted them bears witness with their spirit that they're a child of God. They've accepted Christ. Old devil can't take away your salvation, but he can take away your assurance of salvation. And he can take away the joy of salvation. But God's called everyone that's been called to salvation. He's called us to His eternal glory also. We've got a home in heaven. Let me say to you, my dear friend, God wants us to begin to live like a Christian here, so going to heaven won't be such a drastic change to our life. Look at what he says here, if you will. Look at what he says in verse number 10. But the grace of God who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion for and ever, ever and ever. He'd like for you to be strengthened, rooted and grounded, established. He'd like for you to be a stronger Christian, a growing Christian, so you can enjoy the benefits of heaven down here. Going to heaven ought not have to be a drastic change in our life. He wants us to learn to live by the principles of the Word of God here so we can enjoy a little bit of heaven on earth. Are you enjoying God's presence and God's blessings in your life here? God wants you to. By the way we live as Christians, we can enjoy heaven's blessings on our life here, or we can rebel and ignore God and live in a hell on earth by our disobedience and our rebellion against God. Let me prove it to you. David, King David, it was said by God that he is the apple of his eye. He's a man after God's own heart. David, a child of God, blessed of God, committed a terrible sin. He committed that terrible sin with Bathsheba, and David said in the repentant Psalm, Psalm 51, that his sin was first and foremost against God. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 6, David says in reference to this, that the sorrows of hell come past me about. Have you ever lived so far away from God, so out of the will of God, so under the chastening rod of God that you feel like the sorrows of hell are encompassing you, are circled all around you? David said, that's the way I feel because of my sin. I'm not enjoying a little bit of God's blessing. I'm enjoying hell on earth. I'm suffering through hell on earth. He said again in Psalm 116, verse 3, the sorrows of death come past me. The pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. You see, David sinned. And as a result of that sin, that little baby died. Then, following the little baby dying, Absalom rebelled. Then Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. And then Absalom killed Amnon. And then Absalom was killed. And David said, the pains of hell have got hold of me. The sorrows of hell have encompassed me about. David had made some decisions in his Christian life that took him away from the blessings of God and the blessings of heaven and put him in a place where his life was miserable. But God said, listen, Christian, I've called you to salvation. I've called you out of darkness to light. I've called you to live holy as I am holy, to be godlike. I've called you to be a blessing, to inherit a blessing. I've called you to follow my example, to walk in my steps. And I've called you unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. I want you to know God has far more for us than we want or we're getting because we're not answering when He calls. We're not obeying when He calls. Now let me ask you in conclusion. God's been calling. Have you been listening? God has been calling. Have you answered His call? God has called you to salvation. Have you answered that call and accepted Jesus? God has called you to be holy or godly as He is holy. Are you trying to do that for His glory? God has called you to follow Christ's example. Are you obeying or rebelling? Christ has called you to be a blessing even to those who don't treat you right so you can inherit a blessing. How are you doing there? Have you heard His call and answered? And Christ has called us to His eternal glory. Are you living like you're on your way to heaven? Are you rejoicing in the fact that you've been saved and heaven's your home? You know, it's about time that we act like a little boy named Samuel in the Bible. When he heard God call, he said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Don't you think it's time that we ought to tune our ear toward heaven? He's calling you this morning. What are you doing about it? He's calling. How are you answering? Father, that's our message. Speak to our hearts this morning. I'm grateful that our great God has not shut up heaven, but our great God is trying to communicate with us here on earth. He's trying to communicate to the unsaved the great need of being saved. He's trying to communicate to the saved how that we are to be like Christ, to live like Christ, to try to walk God-like in our life. He's called us to be a blessing so we can inherit a blessing. He's called us to follow your example, to walk in your steps. You've called us and reminded us that we've been called. Every saved person one day will be called out of this life to be with Jesus forever and ever. Oh, thank you. Now, Lord, I wonder how many of those calls are we saying yes to? How many of those calls are we submitting to? How many of those calls are we rebelling against and being disobedient to? Speak to our hearts this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. I wonder how many of you can say this morning, "Preacher, I've heard God's call to salvation. And I've answered that call and have accepted Jesus Christ as my